Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're continuing to see the destruction and consequences that sin brings to a person's life. We're learning from the life of David, so let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel 12 as we go back to basics.
The good news is that all sin can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that we can do that God can't cleanse. That's the good news. Our slate can be wiped clean. We can have that confidence that our sins are forgiven, and we can have that assurance reestablished that, yes, indeed, I am a child of God. I am going to heaven. That's the good news. But there's another side to the coin as well. And this is the primary lesson that I want to focus on from David's life. And that is, although sin might indeed be forgiven, sin's consequences can still remain. And this is what we see in the life of David. And I want to say that this morning, my target audience would be those here with us today who are toying with sin, who are thinking about sin, who are moving in the direction of sin, but at the same time maybe saying, well, I know this is wrong, but I know too that God will forgive me. You're right on both. It is wrong, and it's probably true that God will forgive you. God will forgive you if you will genuinely repent. We'll come to that in a moment, whether or not that is likely. But what we so often fail to take into consideration is that even though my sins might be forgiven, there are consequences to sin. There are things that will inevitably result from our actions that will be devastating to us. And this is what we see played out so clearly in the life of David. His sins are forgiven, but immediately we see that the consequences are going to remain. So Nathan says, your sin is forgiven. God has put away your sin. He said, but because you've given occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme, the child will surely die. And that's where it all began. And as we read on in the 12th chapter, it's the account of the birth and the death of this child that was conceived through this adulterous relationship. But another thing that Nathan said there in the text is this to David: because you have done this, you've killed Uriah with the sword of Ammon. He said, the sword shall never depart from your house. Again, this would be part of the consequences of David's sin. The sword would never depart from his house. Now, as you follow the story throughout the remainder of 2 Samuel, it's a sad story, really. David, up until this point, he was so strong. He was so powerful. He was so victorious and godly and righteous. But you know, after this, he's a different man. He's a weakened man. And he never again attains to that stature that he previously had before his sin. And we see this world of woe and misery that begins to unfold there within the very household of David. And so some years later, as his children grew, he had a daughter named Tamar and a son named Amnon. They were the same father but different mothers. And we read there that Amnon was filled with lust toward Tamar. And he desperately wanted her. He desperately wanted to have relations with her. But she was his sister. Someone even advised him, because she was his half-sister. Someone advised him, go to the king, ask for her hand. He'll give it. But Amnon chose not to do that. Instead, he raped his sister Tamar. He raped Tamar, and this, of course, was extremely devastating to her, took her virginity from her, humiliated her. And when word of this came to David, David never really could deal with it. No doubt, because of his own failure, because of his own sin, he had a hard time executing judgment. So he never really deals with Amnon. He's upset. This is wrong. You shouldn't have done that. But he does nothing more than that. David had another son named Absalom. And Absalom was the full brother of Tamar, half brother to Amnon. And Absalom watched how David did not properly deal with Amnon's sin. And so Absalom decided that he would take the situation into his own hands. And at the opportune moment, he would avenge Tamar. And so that moment came when Absalom rose up and slew Amnon. And of course, here we have now first this rape situation, and now we have a murder situation in the home of David. And as a result of Absalom killing Amnon, Absalom is then exiled. He has to flee the kingdom. And there he is in exile, and David is eventually he's comforted over the death of Amnon, and he's longing for his son Absalom to come back. And so he finally invites him to come back, but still he doesn't have any communication with him for some time. And the tension between the two of them is growing. And Absalom, in watching his father's failures and losing respect for him and all of that, he finally decides that he's going to remove David from power. And he plans to overthrow his father. He begins to sit in the gate of the city, and when people come in, he's starting to endear himself to the people. Oh, if I were the king, I would do this. If I were the king, I would do that. And so he gathers a multitude of people to his cause, and ultimately they pull a coup on David. And David has to flee Jerusalem with his family, has to flee Jerusalem with a multitude of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And you see, all of this stuff is directly linked back to the sin with Bathsheba. And finally, in this particular thing that's transpiring here, Absalom is killed by Joab, David's general. David said, you know, take care of this insurrection, but don't harm the young man Absalom. But Joab knew that Absalom had to die. And so he met him in battle and killed him. When the battle drew to a close, David was looking for a report about how the battle went. But the main thing he was interested in was, how was Absalom? So as the runners came to give David a message that his men had obtained victory, he just sort of said, okay, that's fine, but how is Absalom? And one man said, let the enemies of my Lord be like that young man. Meaning that he had been slain. And we read in 2 Samuel 18:33, the lament of David. When he hears the word that Absalom is dead, he says, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Now, you know that cry came from a heart that was just wrenched out of the chest of David. You see, this is the point. Sin is always destructive. Sin brings nothing good. It is only harmful. And for anybody to go into sin thinking that somehow they're exempt from the negative consequences of it, or, you know, it's going to be different for me, it's not going to turn out like that. That's just a massive deception. And God told this whole story to us for the very purpose of illustrating what the scriptures say. The scriptures say the wages of sin is death. The scriptures say sin, when it is full grown, produces death. And these Old Testament stories are illustrations of those truths. And this is what we see with David. His sin is forgiven. He's cleansed. His fellowship with God is restored. But he still has the outworkings of this sin throughout his entire lifetime. And so this lamentation of David over Absalom is linked back to the sin with Bathsheba. Now, if someone approached you today with a pill and they said, take this pill, it'll kill you. Not only will it kill you, but you'll suffer unimaginably in the process. And not only that, but anyone who gets near you will suffer the same fate. Now, if somebody came to you with that pill, would you take it? Of course you wouldn't. You would never take it. But you see, sin, it doesn't come to us like that. When sin comes to us, when temptation comes our way, it looks so harmless. It looks so inviting. It looks so fulfilling. But make no mistake about it. It would be as though you would gladly take that pill, knowing all the destruction that it's going to bring to you and people around you. Because that's what sin does. And we cannot ignore this fact. You see, the thing with David here that's so tragic. You know, some things happen in life that we have no control over. Sometimes we're sinned against. We don't have any control over that. Things happen in a fallen world that we are not, you know, necessarily directly responsible for. Things that hurt us. But to me, the worst kind of thing in the world is when you sort of, you know, you inflict pain on yourself through just doing something stupid. And I've done that many times in my life. I've done things where as I'm reaping the consequences of my stupid act, I'm thinking, you know, I've got nobody to blame but myself. I brought this on myself. And that to me is the worst kind of thing. And so here's David. He, all of these things, all of the woe, all of the misery, all of the suffering is self-inflicted. This is what sin will do. You will inflict yourself with misery, woe, and suffering. Do you want to do that? I would say, no, you don't. And you would say, no, you don't. But what happens is we get deceived. We start thinking foolishly. We start thinking, well, it's going to be different with me. It's not going to happen like that. This is going to work out. I know it's going to be okay. It's not. Don't buy into that deception. The wages of sin is death. Sin devastates, it destroys, it kills. That's the truth. Now, it might not kill you physically, at least immediately, unless your sin is drug or alcohol related, that can kill you, or some other sort of criminal behavior that puts you at risk of death. And of course, that kind of stuff is fairly common today. If it doesn't kill you physically, it will certainly kill you emotionally. And like I said, when David cried out this lamentation, and this is just one of several, but this lamentation over Absalom, what you see is a man who is devastated emotionally. He's devastated emotionally. This is a cry of anguish. But again, he brought it upon himself. Sin can also kill you spiritually. And here's the thing that we have to be aware of. Not everyone who heads down the road of sin turns back. See, this is a deception as well. Some people think, well, I'm just going to do this for a little while, and then I'll get right with the Lord. Then I'll turn around. Then I'll get back to where I need to be. You know what? Some people head down the road of sin. They go deeper and deeper into it. They never turn back. I personally know people who have walked away from the Lord thinking to themselves, well, you know, I'm just need this season. I'll be back. They never came back. And they died in that state. So sin can kill you spiritually. But remember, sin will kill others as well emotionally. And this is what we have to take into consideration. You know, the myth that, what I'm doing doesn't hurt anybody else. So why are people bothered? So often people who are in sin, that's exactly what they say. Well, I'm not hurting anybody else. There's no sin that's done in isolation. Every sin that's committed affects somebody else to some degree or another. Think of all of the heartbreak surrounding the many broken homes that there are in our world today. Think of the children who have been devastated over that. Think of the heartbreak of infidelity. Again, I spoke with a woman after the service this morning. She said, my husband left me 3 years ago. I'm still heartsick over it. Can I come and talk to you? This is what happens. 3 years, 6 years, 9, 10, 20 years. So it kills people emotionally. The heartbreak of seeing loved ones consumed by substance abuse or other destructive lifestyles. I've heard people say, well, you know, this isn't hurting anybody else. It is hurting other people. The people who love you, the people that brought you into the world, the people that care about you. You see, sin kills emotionally. Sin can also kill others spiritually. Children have been stumbled by their Christian parents, broken marriage, infidelity, those kinds of things, to the point where they've said, my parents were Christians, didn't work for them, I don't want to be a Christian. I'm not interested. I have heard that numerous times. Young people, young Christians stumbled by church leaders. Oh yeah, I used to go to church, but you know what they did over there? You know that leader, you know, he had that adulterous affair. You know, they did this or that, or you know, those molestations and all that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. See, this is real stuff that happens as the result of sin. And so, make no mistake about it. Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. And like I said, you know, David was a believer. So my message this morning is primarily to believers. If you don't know Christ, I'll talk to you in a moment. But David was a believer. And these things happened. And so I want to speak to you as believers. Some of you are being tempted today. You're being tempted to cheat on your husband or your wife. Some of you are being tempted back into a life of drug and alcohol abuse. Some of you are being tempted into a life of sexual perversion, perhaps. Some are being tempted to deceive, to steal, to slander. Perhaps some of you are even being tempted to murder. You'd say, well, come, Pastor Brian, this is Calvary Chapel. Come on, you know, what are you talking about? Murder? Do you think anybody thought that there was murder in the heart of the king of Israel? That there was murder in the heart of the king there in the palace? Nobody would have thought that. And we would like to think that would never even be in somebody's thinking process here. But this is what sin does, and this is where sin goes. David didn't set out to murder anybody. He just set out to have a good time. But in order to cover his tracks, he ended up having to murder somebody. Or at least he felt like that was what he had to do. And so maybe you're being tempted in these areas and there's a voice in your head that says, God will forgive you. And that's true if you repent. But you see, that's a big if. And that's what people don't realize. People say, oh, you know, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know God's going to forgive me. God will forgive you if you repent. But here's the question. What makes you think you're going to be able to repent? If you can harden your heart right now to the known will of God, resist his will, and move straight into sin, why do you think at some point you're going to stop and say, okay, now I'm going to back up and I'm really going to repent? You see, the tendency of the heart through sin is to get harder, not to grow softer. So that's a delusion. That's a deception. God help us not to fall under that deception. But you see, even though God will forgive you, this is really the question that you need to ask yourself. Are you willing to suffer a lifetime of grief and misery for a few moments of pleasure? Think about that, because that's reality. That's where it all leads. That's where it's going. And again, I want to say, I had a man after first service come and say, everything you talked about is me. So my point is this. This is going on. This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with today. And this is God's word to warn us not to go in the direction. You don't want to follow the path of sin. You don't want to succumb to that. You want to resist the temptation. You want to get that as far away from your life as you possibly can, because there's no exceptions to the rule. The rule is you will suffer the consequences of your sin. Don't be deceived into thinking that it'll be different with you. Know that if you go down that road, you've got a life of grief and misery awaiting you all the way to the end. You might be forgiven. Sins will be washed away. You'll end up in heaven ultimately, but there will be a lot of wreckage between now and then. Those kids, family members, friends, all the way across the board. Now, in closing, of course, sin is the problem with the world that we live in. And sin is the thing that's making everybody's life miserable. Because that's just what sin does. But thank God that Jesus came to forgive our sins and to take away our sins. And if you don't know Christ today, and you're recognizing that sin is ruining your life, and you're saying, man, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this misery. I want to get out of this pit. Well, the Lord extends that invitation to you today to come to Him. And to be forgiven. And He will wash those sins away. And He'll set your life on a new course. And He'll begin to He'll begin this healing process. This process of restoration. Restoring your life from all that sin's done. And so if that's you, just open your heart to the Lord this morning. But if you're that person, like David, who's faced with temptation and you're contemplating perhaps moving in that direction, may this be that word to you not to go there. But instead, may you pray as David did, create in me a clean heart. You see, it's because of the heart that the inclination is there. So Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, David said. And as you sincerely do that, as you sincerely call out to the Lord and ask Him to do that, and as you flee from those things that are there trying to draw you away, God will give you the strength, and He will preserve you and keep you from the devastating consequences of sin.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Sin's Destructive Consequences, and the resource number is OBB524. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Yeah.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.